They're going to do that for us, but they have asked that we wait till next week. They are still refining that, and it may take longer than just an hour and a half with the other items on the agenda. So we will be meeting next Tuesday in Legislative Commission on Planning and Fiscal Policy, just so everyone knows that. And Commissioner Hansen, why don't you come before us and give us an update on the status and process of the recovery dollars?
Madam Chair and members, thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Regarding the meeting on Tuesday, Madam Chair, if we have a room that we can have a screen.
Yes, I'm sure we can figure that out.
Okay, and while we won't have the capability, our map system is not web-based, so it won't be able to be live as we present. I think it helps for presentation purposes. We have a fairly comprehensive presentation for you on the reporting requirements. We're going to talk about what we report now, and then specifically what the new requirements are and what systems we have. So it
Terrific.
Is a excellent, I'm hoping for some good public dialogue on what we have and where we need to go at that point. The second thing I wanted to just briefly mention, we have another stimulus school in Washington that Mr. Showalter and I are traveling to my sophomore year.
When?
and it's on the 29th of this month. It's a one-day, again, jointly sponsored by the White House and the National Governors Association. I did, again, ask, and it is limited to two. I still think it would be easier if somebody from the House and the Senate could come so we can figure this all out together.
We appreciate you thinking of us.
All the time, Madam Chair. But it's a one-day meeting. We're flying out on a Tuesday night, coming back on a Wednesday night. And it is an update, and I'll email you. We have the agenda. It's a little better of an agenda this time. It's more focused on some of the key areas rather than the last meeting was every federal department, some of them which have some involvement but not a lot of involvement in the stimulus. So it's going to be a little more focused. We have some breakout sessions in the afternoon, and we're going to learn a little more on the competitive grant process. That's one of the goals of this meeting. So I'm hopeful that we will be able to come back and be able to, the feds will have made some good decisions and we'll be able to explain.
So you definitely would not want us to meet on the 29th of April.
No, because I won't be back. Unless you want to meet at 11:30 p.m. when I get back. And
it's okay.
I know that's when Senator Pogramiller gets revved up.
I wanted to get rid of that 12 o'clock rule in conference, but the House wouldn't do it.
Nope. We like that rule.
The next thing I wanted to update you on, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Showalter, we have had numerous interactions with your staffs and with committee chairs on the federal funds report, and we are getting, Jim submitted it yesterday, and about half of the accounts got approved, and I would say that the half that are being relegated to the regular legislative process are what we all would have figured would have anyway, but I will have him walk through that now.
So any general questions right now? For the commissioner, Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, Commissioner, when you're talking about the competitive grant process that you're going to learn about, is it the process that when they're, is it, you mean applying directly to the federal government, or is it the process that the states need to implement for the competitive grant process at this level?
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, it would be the process that we as a state or a municipality or a citizen or a nonprofit or whoever would apply for money that is distributed at the federal government level. So it would be the broadband competitive grants, the health information technology, the green energy, green jobs. Those are the three big clusters, waiting for more information on how and to apply in more details.
So, Mr. Chair,
Senator
or Madam
Wilson?
Chair, Commissioner, so it's how the state will apply for the federal monies in these big areas. It isn't for how the process that will be used, for example, in the energy grants that are going to be handled through the Department of Commerce. There'll be a process there. Is that a process that we set up here?
It's how we all apply. I mean, the state can compete for the competitive grants, just like, you know, ABC Power or, you know, a nonprofit. So we are competitive. We are potentially competitors for these competitive grants. So it is information broadly, okay, not just for states, but for nonprofits or whoever might.
I see. Okay.
Might compete.
Thank you.
Okay, so Mr. Showalter, I think that what we're going to be working off here is item 2 on the agenda, federal funds discussion, both A and B, request of further review of federal funds, and you all have a memo from Minnesota Management and Budget that is to the ARRA coordinators and budget directors from Mr. Showalter, and that is triggered off of the request by both senators and House members for further review. And then the second memo is the memo dated March 30th. So, Mr. Showalter?
Certainly, Madam Speaker, members, that memo really closes a discussion that started about 20 days ago when we came to the LCPFP and presented a series of possible federal grants that were going to be requested through the LAC process. Mr. Marks and Mr. Mossman made a presentation on that process, and these grants were all submitted through that process. There is a couple of different items in here. Some of these are items that we didn't expect to be approved through that process. An example, the stabilization funds, you know, is obviously something that is, it got significant budget impact and will be discussed throughout this budget session. Beyond that, there were some areas that might have had a budget impact or might have some policy impact that the funding chairs would want to look at or the policy chairs would want to look at. And this is obviously the legislature's opportunity to look at that. The list that you have is a compilation of what we've received negative response from the House and the Senate, saying we want to take a little bit more look at these items. We will hold those items. We can receive federal funds if they're sent, but we cannot spend those federal funds. We would not spend those federal funds until something is positively resolved in the legislature. Those items that have been approved, essentially now the agencies have the statutory authority to receive and spend those federal funds pursuant to state law and federal law, and we'll start monitoring that effective immediately.
Does anyone have any questions about that? So the process, again, was a process by which there was an opportunity for the legislature to either individual chairs or individual members to say, we want to take a further look at this, we want to throw this into the legislative process for further review. That is what you're seeing in the April 15th memo, is those items which have been put into the legislative process versus there's another extensive list that we're not objected to that are going to go forward and hopefully receive federal funds and be able to be spent without any further legislative action. Would that be?
Madam Speaker, that's correct.
Okay.
That's exactly. We may have further grant requests coming up in the future. At this point, I don't have any additional requests, but you know, we will certainly be checking back with state agencies along the way to see if there's other federal fund availabilities that they think they're ready to ask for authorization to spend. Otherwise, you've acted on the majority of the items that we've come forward with.
So, Mr. Showalter, remind us of the process. In the April 15th memo, it is laid out what needs to be put into the legislative process. So if by May 18th, the regularly scheduled adjournment date of the legislature, if action is not taken, what happens then to these funds, these categories?
If no action is taken whatsoever, I want to double check with Mr. Marks and Mr. Mossman if they were all in agreement. I believe that would No further comment, no legislation is available in the appropriation bills. I believe they would be then considered approved. But I am seeing a small nod. Typically, we would expect some kind of communication, whether formal or informal. But if there was nothing whatsoever, I think the default would be that it's approved.
All right. Any questions? Okay, and then item B of number two, review of programs that have existing statutory authority to spend the federal funds. And so I think that's the March 30th memo. Is that correct? So would you like to go through those with
sure.
us?
Sure. Madam Speaker, the authority that I was flagging in that memo was a discussion we were having with DEED at the time, Department of Economic Employment and Development. The issue there was there's some broad authority in there that they can receive and spend federal funds, and we weren't quite sure how that was applicable to the federal funds that were coming through ARA. Through further discussion, actually, we started to narrow down the list of items that were actually applicable to that. Really, it becomes more an unemployment insurance kind of issue, and that the other grants were forwarded to the legislature for review. We actually have not had any concerns received from the legislature on those other ones. So under either authority, they've been approved.
Okay. And Mr. Showalter, in the lower part of that memo on, it's two pages, it's one page, the bottom, the Small Cities Development Program, Brownfields, Employment Services, can you give us an idea of the dollar amount that we're talking about in those areas? Do you know right off? If it's not easy to do, we can do this at the...
Okay. If that would be acceptable, Madam Speaker,
yeah,
let me just get back to you.
I think instead of having you page through and add them all up, it would be interesting to know the dollar amounts that we are dealing with in those programs. Obviously, we see above the bills that have been approved by the legislature, and I believe almost all of them signed by the governor now at this point to authorize the spending in the other areas. Questions to this particular? Okay. I think that we are probably ready to move on to item three, which,
Madam Chair, one question. I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry.
Is there any requests? And I think you've been trying to do this, but to the extent that you get draft AARA reporting information, if you could get that to our staff prior to meeting with us, because that could solve, that information flow, I think, would make it much quicker for us to deal with if there's something we need to ask at that point or not. And I know you've been operating in that way. It's just particularly the AARA reporting info that next week, I think, we're going to.
We hope.
Mr. Showalter.
Madam Speaker, Senator, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to say there was a couple of related things. One is that the OMB has sent out some additional guidance to federal agencies that have some implications for states. So while they're still not talking to us directly and they're very clearly saying, we're going to get back to the states, we're going to tell you a little bit more about reporting requirements in the future, we have a little bit better handle on what exactly is taking shape. And that'll be a big part of our work in the presentation and discussing exactly what's there. We'll get you all the advanced material. We'll have the presentation before the meeting as well. Also just related is that the stabilization funds, that is one of the applications that we do have, and we are completing that right now, understanding quite fully that there's an amendment process, and so whatever is put in right now is the initial application will be amended for whatever comes out of this legislative session. But our staff are currently working on that, and we're getting close to finishing that up.
Okay,
Madam Chair, Commissioner, I wanted to just publicly mention that in the conversations that I've had with the federal administration, it does appear that you and the governor have been meeting the various deadlines for applications, and we very much, I personally very much appreciate that. I know legislators appreciate that. And we appreciate the kind of working relationship that's developing here regarding expenditure of these federal monies. And I think along the lines of what the speaker was asking a little earlier, to the extent that along the way here you could give us heads up of where there are cliffs once the legislature leaves, what are the implications of that in terms of expenditures of some of federal funds, to just give us a heads up as to whether we ought to speed up our process.
Okay.
So, because I think what we're developing is a relationship where the governor and the legislature are trying to do this jointly on the federal money, and I think we ought to stay there as best we can so that we don't end up this summer fighting publicly about the way someone's spending the money. It just seems like that would be a big diversion.
Yes.
Since it's money from the feds, and we should at least get along on how we allocate that.
Commissioner?
Madam Chair, Senator Pogemiller, I couldn't agree more. And actually, I know that you all do other things as we approach summer and fall, but I think some meeting of this group on a semi-regular basis to bring out these issues in a public forum is incredibly helpful for us on a regular basis.
Well, it seems like a wonderful segue. There was peace, harmony, and just, oh, I think the birds were singing there for a second about trying to get all this work done together. This seems like an appropriate forum to have a discussion about budget conference committees and interactions with state agencies and the administration, Commissioner. And I think we all think of you as the lead negotiator here. I don't know if you think of yourself as the lead negotiator, but we certainly think of you as the lead negotiator with the governor in how we help resolve our budget crisis. And so I think
it's usually involved.
Pardon?
I'm usually involved.
You are usually involved. I think you're usually at his right hand, if I am remembering the setup quite well. I think that in the spirit of how we've done this, it is helpful, I think, to the public and to the members of the legislature that as much as we can do our work in public and in a way that the public can follow what we are doing, that is quite helpful. And it also, I think, helps people see, how great the problem is that we all face together, because we really do face a pretty mammoth problem here together in the size of our budget deficit and the solutions that we face. And so we're hoping to really, lay out some expectations today about what we expect of the administration in terms of this sort of interaction and the need for public interaction on this dialogue. And obviously, I'll just say from, I think that we are in unison on this from a House and Senate standpoint, that as much work that can be done in the conference committee in public, in front of the public, is very powerful work and can be very helpful in people understanding the decisions being made. And so we want to talk a little bit about how the administration is going to participate in that and the expectations that maybe you and the governor would be giving to the different commissioners in terms of their interaction. So maybe, Commissioner, you could speak a little bit about what the philosophy has been about this. I think that we are all a bit weary of the go and get locked into the governor's reception room for hours upon hours and go through line by line, bill after bill. I just think that we need to do this at a little, maybe do the detail work at the conference committee level. Could you comment on that?
Madam Speaker and members, the couple of comments. One, we are currently in the process of analyzing what you're doing, much like you do with us when we submit our budget to the to you on the 27th.
What we're doing.
We just have a caucus of one, so I just have one decision
we
maker.
We are well aware of that.
Yes. There's 201 of you, and there's we have to learn a whole body of information from the Senate and a whole body from the House. So we are in the phase right now of figuring out how you're, in some cases, in many cases, you have ideas that are as good or better than what we did. And we're trying to figure out and give it a good look ourselves before we comment. So while you're putting your bills together and while you're moving them through your committees and they go to the floor, we have an internal process of analyzing your spreadsheets, comparing House and Senate. What have you adopted of the governor's? What haven't you? So I mean, and that usually takes us a week or two. And we usually generally are as educated as we'll ever be on our own by the time you pass all your bills. As far as how we interact, I think the governor has said both publicly and when he has spoken with you and the Senate Majority Leader that we will, whatever process you want, we will accommodate. We have our commissioners available for the conference committees. I'm available wherever you want me, if it's this group or something else. It's in our best interest to be open and forthcoming and try to get it done as judiciously as possible.
Well, Commissioner, I appreciate that. I want to say that I think the one thing I wouldn't want maybe the public to take away from this is that there will be no meetings or something between leadership and the governor. That's not what we're implying here. But I do think that as decisions are made, as bills are assembled, and, you know, I've heard this bipartisanly from both sides of the aisle about what ends up in this legislation, that it is most helpful when the decisions can happen publicly. And, you know, if it's an objection of the legislature, that is made clear. If it's an objection of the governor, that is made clear in the conference committee, and that it is just a lot clearer about how the decisions are being made. Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Madam Speaker and Commissioner. I believe it was 2 years ago, during the last week of the conference committee process for the Health and Human Services bill, that the Commissioner of Human Services instructed his staff not to have any communication with the conference committee and not to provide us any technical assistance. So I'm assuming that would not be happening again this year.
Commissioner Hansen, I do remember that moment. That was not a pretty moment.
Madam Chair, Senator Berglund, I don't remember that. I'm sure it happened. I don't remember what the circumstances were, why that happened. But in general, it is in our best interest to give information, and I'll follow up. I don't remember.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Speaker and Commissioner, I believe it happened because the governor was not happy with the target that we were using. But we had a deadline we had to finish our bill by, and so we had to proceed without the information or the technical assistance. And all I can say is that when that happens, you know, what we're likely to end up with is mistakes. And I don't think that serves anyone very well.
And
Madam Chair, Senator Berglund, I will follow up on that, but I do think it's our responsibility to provide information to the legislature on their proposals, and I will work to make sure that doesn't happen. You have my commitment. You just call me.
And, Commissioner, I think it's an important thing. I know there's been some stories written about this already, that it's been a challenge this year, particularly in the area of Health and Human Services, to get information out in a speedy way on request of the legislature. And so it just bears repeating for the public side of this that the legislature relies on the administration to do the analysis. It's sort of like if no one would want to drive up to the gas station tonight, fill up their tank and have no idea what the price of the gas is. And no one wants to assemble bills around here right now by putting things in the bills that either bust the bank or either, so are underspending that we are leaving dollars that might be available for good public uses on the table. And so this is kind of an ongoing concern right now. Representative Sertich, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thanks for the invitation. And Commissioner Hansen, good to see you.
I didn't think I'd get through this whole LCPFP process, Representative Sertich, without talking with you.
Well, yes. And I think it's good that we're talking publicly as well. I think, much as Senator Berglund brought up, I think we can learn from past practices. As legislative leaders sitting around the table on this side of the room, most of us are very new to our leadership positions within the past 3 years. Governor Pawlenty has been involved in his leadership position previously as majority leader, but then as governor for the past 7 years, looking at deficits and in other instances. So he has a little more of an advantage of when he's in this back room negotiating. So when we look at learning from our previous way of doing things, I think we can always find ways to improve. And when I look at just our process in the past, I look at it as when I was a minority member, when I was one of the hundreds of legislators outside the room waiting for something to happen. And I look at it now from being a majority leader who was inside the room, sometimes going line by line through bills, doing the work that I think the entire legislature should be doing publicly and vetting these bills publicly. And I was a part of that process, but that doesn't mean that we can't do a better job for the people beforehand. And your comments about how we're spending these federal dollars and the openness and transparency is very important. And I think not just because we have a very historic deficit, but the decisions we'll be making as far as setting our state budget demands the same transparency and openness in the process as well. So I just have a few questions for you on that, and I think it'll be helpful that I can then convey that to members of the House as we're going to be going down this road. I guess the first question is, and we haven't met as leaders of the legislature and the governor for quite a few weeks here, so generally when we hear from one another, it's within the press. Yeah, 2 weeks. It's quite a long time in legislative time, but we generally hear from one another through the media or through secondhand conversations. And when I read through a newspaper this week where it said that Governor Pawlenty was worried that DFLer's timeline would not allow for both vetoes and reconstructed bills to pass his desk before the May 18th adjournment deadline, that struck me as curious. Now, 2 years ago, that was the way that this budget was resolved, where the governor kind of sat on the sidelines while the legislature passed through budgets, vetoed the bills, and then there was some more negotiations. I saw that as kind of tedious and unnecessary. So I'm wondering if the governor has already made up his mind that that is the course of action he wants to take again this year. We did do it. We were able to pass a full budget, have it vetoed, and repass the budget within our allotted time, though I don't think that is the most efficient way of doing things. Am I reading this that the governor is assuming or wants to go down that road again? I can give you my opinion that we certainly, I don't believe we need to, but I'm wondering if that has already been kind of set in stone and that's the direction that the administration wants to take.
Mr. Hansen.
I'm Representative Sertich. We would rather work with you and the other 200 members of the legislature and come up with a consensus ahead of time. I do remember 2 years ago, and I remember this a little better than the human services piece, but we just flew by each other. I mean, when you were first passing your bills out, I remember 2 years ago, you had various deadlines. We would meet, and it was primarily myself and staff from the governor's office with your staffs and sometimes with you. But what would happen is you would give us some thoughts what you were going to do, and then we would go back and look at it, and eventually the bills just started to move. So, I mean, it was a matter of your timelines and our ability to respond just not syncing up. It's better if we pass bills that we I've always been in favor of coming with some kind of a consensus and not my personal preference, not the governor's perhaps, but work out any vetoable items, come up with your consensus ahead of time so you generally don't have line items.
Well, and Commissioner, that's very good to hear. I appreciate that. And I think that is the opinion of the legislature as well. We only want to do our work once and do it well the first time and get the budget resolved. You did, though, mention that that's your personal opinion, and you don't know if that's the governor's opinion. And I guess that is sometime the issue here, Commissioner Hansen, is when we want to resolve these issues. And I think it would be better to do so in the light of day in conference committee. It's not your staff and our staff sitting down somewhere figuring this out. It is conference committees meeting, your commissioners, yourself meeting publicly and having these conversations, not just with the leaders. And
definitely.
So I guess what I think we need to know is, will the commissioners be speaking on behalf of the governor? So when, say, for example, the Health and Human Service Conference Committee is meeting, Chair Berglund and Chair Huntley are sitting with either yourself or the commissioners of Health and Human Services, and whatever agreements happen at that table, is that going to be then followed through to that agreement holding true with the governor when a bill gets to his desk?
Mr. Hansen?
Madam Speaker, Representative Sertich, yes, our commissioners will speak on behalf of the governor, but in order for this process to work, you're right, you have to have a clear understanding. What are the items that are important to us? What are the items that are important to you? It has to be clear in the light of day, and in order for this process to work, that has to be clear. Now, I'm not saying there will be no line items or vetoes. The governor will lay, his practice has been, he lays out his preferences, and he's usually fairly specific. If you raise taxes, I'll probably veto it, and he's been very clear on that. I mean, so it's easier when we're clear, and some of these issues are more bright line. The more complex they are, it sometimes amounts to how you figure and work the proposal. But it's, the more we communicate, the more likely it is that the bills get passed.
Representative Sertich.
Well, so, Commissioner, so I believe we're in some agreement here that we should be doing this process in conference committee with commissioners speaking on behalf of the governor, having the ability to make decisions about how we move forward in this process so that we can find consensus and agreement, negotiate publicly, and move the bills along that way. I'm hopeful that's what I'm hearing from you today.
Commissioner?
Madam Speaker, Representative Sertich, our commissioners, as the governor has always said, speak on his behalf in their areas. But before a conference committee on human services, for example, moves forward, they have to have a target. Generally, before there is a target, you have to have some discussion and meeting of the minds on, you don't get the target unless you have some general idea of the basic parameters. Our commissioners are going to take direction from the governor on the targets in their specific areas. So they don't have the ability to Commissioner Holston doesn't have the ability to go into the Environment and Natural Resources Conference Committee and negotiate his own target. If they all could negotiate their own targets, it would be a little chaotic. Same as if your committee chairs did. So, I mean, there's got to be some centralized communicating and, be it this group or some other group or, as the speaker alluded to, a mix of public meetings with, I know that the legislature, I'm usually in the meetings when the four of you show up, the combination of that, but it's some mix, I guess.
And Representative Sertich.
Thank you, Madam Speaker and Commissioner Hansen. I agree, and as the legislature, we have a very open process of how we set our targets in the House committee hearings of the Ways and Means, and the process for setting those joint targets with the governor is a lot less transparent. And, I could even take the example of the meeting we had this year already with the governor around kind of the issue of where we're going and how we get there. I don't think there was a whole lot that was said around that table that couldn't be said publicly. I think positions were restated more than anything moved forward. Are you then suggesting that there could be a good opportunity for us to publicly interact with one another so that we could nail down these targets? Because I'm not as worried as the governor is about us finishing on time as far as what our timeline is, and we're coming to some sort of an agreement that we should only be doing our work once, that it should be an open process where commissioners have the ability to negotiate the details with the legislators in an open conference committee. It seems like all of that is going to be good for transparency, but it all starts with us having the overall global understanding of where we're at. So do you think there's an opportunity, or would you commit to an opportunity where we could have an open process of working on this together, the executive branch and the legislature? And I don't mean to see it as only two sides. It's the House with our positions, the Senate with their positions, and then Governor Pawlenty's positions, figuring out what that overall package looks like.
Commissioner Hansen.
Madam Speaker, Representative Sertich, I think the governor has said, like I referenced earlier, that we're open to whatever process you want to use. I can tell you, as the governor's chief negotiator, I'll show up anywhere, anytime. I generally like to sleep, Senator Pogemiller, between 12 and 6. I know you don't. But from my perspective, I'll show up anywhere in any form you want as the governor's chief negotiator. And he has said that however you want to do it. I think I've heard him say that multiple times over the years to you guys, and I'm sure it's not any different now.
And Representative Sertich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I get, you know, we're our chief negotiators as the elected officials too, and I'm glad you'll be there. You have been very helpful in the process of negotiation, both privately and publicly.
If we could negotiate with Mr. Hansen, I think we could get this deal done.
but
trying to get me fired.
Just stating the obvious.
Commissioner, you know, ultimately, you don't sign or veto the bills. The governor does. So, you know, having him a part of this process is important as well. As his chief negotiator, if we could do a little negotiation right here, can we get commitment that the governor would be involved in this public process as well?
Commissioner Hansen.
Madam Speaker, Representative Sertich, I will generally, that's what I am for in these type of public processes. It's my responsibility to speak on his behalf and negotiate on his behalf. So I will certainly check with him, but I am, I don't remember the last time he showed up at a hearing. I think it was our second year or something, but.
Well, Representative Sertich.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And Commissioner Hansen, I do remember an opportunity where there was some public negotiation near the end of session, and I believe Senator Berglund participated with Governor Pawlenty in some negotiation around the Health and Human Services Bill in 2005, if
yeah,
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was actually 4 years. It was in the, I remember, yeah. We had some of those meetings.
And so there was some public you know, people saw the light of day, what was going on and the decisions we're making. So, Commissioner, if you could get back to me, as the chief negotiator, I was hoping for a more definitive answer, but if you could check with the governor and see if he'd be willing to be involved in a very open and transparent process around our negotiations, that would be helpful.
Commissioner Tom will invite anyone he wants to be here. I know he has favorites that he likes to see on a regular basis. So, Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, I think in the spirit of what Governor Pawlenty indicated about concern about being done on time, several meetings ago I indicated I was concerned about in the health and human services area receiving timely fiscal notes and timely fiscal information. And I said I was very concerned about not getting done on time if we didn't have timely information. And we're supposed to be having our health and human services bill out of my division today, and that isn't happening. We're supposed to have it out of the full finance committee on Wednesday, and in order for that to happen, I would have to have my bill out of my committee by Monday, because engrossing the committee report will take over a day. And I don't believe that that's going to be able to happen. We've been told by the Department of Human Services that we're just asking for too many fiscal notes. But we've gone back and looked, and in 2005, we asked for 211 fiscal notes or fiscal note revisions. In 2007, we asked for 202 fiscal notes or fiscal note revisions. This year, we've asked for 180 fiscal note or fiscal note revisions. So we aren't asking for more than we've had in the past. I would acknowledge the ones that we're asking for are more difficult, but that is because we are in a more difficult situation. And all I can say is that I can't go forward until I get the fiscal notes that we've requested.
Commissioner?
Madam Speaker, Senator Berglund, I know we've talked about this before, you know, here at this meeting as well as our phone call. And I know that Commissioner Ludeman sent you, I've just got a copy of it today, the letter that he sent last week. I can assure you there is absolutely no advantage that I can see for us to delay information for you. It just means this whole process takes longer. I know that with the interactions of the stimulus I have the numbers from a week ago that the Senate had asked for about one, at that point, 145, and the House had only asked for, Chairman Huntley had only asked for about 45. So I don't know if what that signals, but we're trying to move it as quick. It's in our best interest to get you the information as quickly as possible.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Speaker and Commissioner, one of the reasons there might be a difference in the number of fiscal notes being requested from each side is that I have over a $200 million higher target.
Yeah, that could be.
So, you know, just by that fact alone, we have to have more fiscal notes.
And Madam Chair, Commissioner.
We have very good and talented professionals at our Department of Human Services, but I can share with you, Senator Berglund, there were times where we had to wait a day or two in the process and the deadlines that I had established internally in December, you know, because they needed a little extra time. And it's because of the complexities and the size of the target, as you referenced. The higher you go, the more, I mean, you more than anybody knows how complicated it can get. So it wasn't it just sometimes takes a little while, but it's certainly not intentional. I couldn't think of any reason why we would do it intentionally.
Well, Madam Speaker and Commissioner, I am just concerned about being able to meet the legislative deadline. That's what my concern is here. This is a more difficult area to negotiate also, and so shortchanging the conference committee processing time, I think, is not a good idea either, and I just want to continue to express my concern.
Commissioner Hansen, I think it needs to be noted that although there are fewer requests from the House for fiscal notes, there has been a significant delay as well, and I know that Chair Huntley has been quite concerned about being able to meet the deadline as well. And like Senator Berglund says, the issue there is that at some point it begins to shortchange the negotiating period. And this is, I think, by all estimates, the most complex area of our budget, and the interactions are significant. And if we don't have information, I had one nonpartisan staffer share with me today a concern that as we go into the final weeks, that unlike other years where maybe simple adjustments could be easily calculated, it is going to be quite complex, and it's not going to be a matter of an hour or two, but it could take days to actually figure out what decisions are being made. And so I think it just lends itself even more to this use of a more public process so that the public can follow and understand what is happening here. Representative Coles.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to step back just a bit to a couple of Representative Sertich's questions. And I'm not sure if I have a question or more of a comment, but I want to, comment a bit on the reference to the concern about being done on time. And I certainly share that concern. I want to see us get done on time, and I couldn't agree more that I only want to see us do our work once. I have another job outside of here that I would like to be able to return to on a regular basis. I have a family outside of here, and I have a cabin, and I hope that's not my phone. I have a cabin that I'd like to be able to spend a little time at this summer, and so I certainly have a concern about us only doing our work once. And I would also agree, Representative Sertich and Madam Speaker and others, with the comments about the importance of transparency. I think anything we can do to be transparent in whether it's the House's position or the Senate's position or the legislature's position or the administration's position, I think is a useful thing, a good thing. But I think it's worth noting or reminding people, and I don't think I should even have to remind people, but I cannot think of a way for Governor Pawlenty to be more transparent. He has said time and time again, and he has vetoed bill after bill, he is not going to support a tax increase. And the House budget proposal relies on $1.5 billion of new revenues. The Senate budget proposal relies on $2 billion of new revenues. And I certainly recognize that Governor Pawlenty's budget proposal relies on some additional revenues as well. But Governor Pawlenty has said time and time again, I will not support a general fund tax increase. So if that's the direction we're going to go, members, I don't know how Governor Pawlenty can be more transparent. He is going to veto bills if they're built on the basis of a general fund tax increase. And I'm one legislator who absolutely doesn't want to do the work more than once. But I absolutely do want Governor Pawlenty to veto those bills. And I want us to get it done right. So I'm hopeful, Madam Speaker, and I wish Senator Pogemiller were here, but Senator Clark, I'm hopeful that the Senate leadership with the House leadership can work with Governor Pawlenty and we can figure out a way to get out of here and get bills to the governor's desk that he can and will sign. And let's do it once. But he's been incredibly transparent about that, Representative Sertich. And, again, I'm only one legislator, one member of the House, and I know there are plenty of members who disagree with me. But I'm one legislator who certainly does hope Governor Pawlenty uses his veto pen if, in fact, bills get to his desk that are built on a general fund tax increase. So I guess there's not a question there. I don't know that the commissioner probably doesn't want to comment, and I would understand that. But I agree with some of the concepts that you're laying out, Representative Sertich and Madam Speaker. Let's get it done once. Let's do it in a public manner. Let's be transparent. But let's be clear that Governor Pawlenty has been incredibly transparent.
And Representative Coles, there may be a difference here between clarity and transparency, though. And so I think the public maybe needs the ability to see the transparency of the thinking behind how we solve a $6.4 billion deficit and the decisions that go into that. Being very clear about positions is one thing. We all have positions. But there is a difference between clarity of position and transparency in decision-making, and I want to be very clear about that today. I think there's a really big difference. And I do think that we have made some progress in using the Legislative Commission on Planning and Fiscal Policy this year in shedding transparency and sunlight on some of the decision-making, but it's not perfect. But it may provide a form for some of these discussions about target setting that could at least allow the public more transparency around the decision making. I think that's quite helpful. Representative Sertich, did you need to?
No.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Speaker, I'd like to go back to the Commissioner's comment of being the chief negotiator. And as all of you know, I do have a little history in this institution, and so my comments aren't directed at the current administration or you, Commissioner, but a number of years ago, I negotiated a major finance bill in good faith, and the Commissioner of Finance at the time signed off on it. The governor's staff signed off on it, and we moved forward and had a very strong bipartisan vote on the House floor and Senate side as well, only to pick up the newspaper after we had adjourned, and there were very significant vetoes throughout the bill. And the only point I want to make is, if you are the chief negotiator, that we are absolutely sure that when we reach an agreement, that that's going to be an agreement that's upheld. And I don't even want to mention which administration, other than to say it was something that happened that really created problems, quite frankly, that spilled over into the next legislative session and even the following biennium. Because then at that point forward, it became very difficult to negotiate because you didn't really have trust, if you will, in terms of what was being negotiated as being passed into law. So I just want to point out that little bit of history and in hope that we can move forward in good faith with those negotiations and see positive outcomes.
It's helpful. I know that Senator Pogemiller has a question or two, and he stepped out to meet with the bishops of the Lutheran Church. So I think out of respect for that, we can either just hang on or... It's okay. I mentioned you're meeting with the bishops.
Yes.
I think everybody then...
Gave me a break.
Yeah.
I just wanted to follow up on... just to make sure, Commissioner, that the executive branch understood that the Senate leadership absolutely agrees with where the House is headed here in terms of transparency and openness. And it is around this area of just higher productivity. I agree with Representative Surge's point of view that most of the things that get said in these private meetings could have been said publicly. And I believe it would be better if they were said publicly, because then everybody's position would be understood and it might help create compromise. And so I absolutely support where the House is headed here. And then I just want to make one other point. Representative Sertich kind of touched on this. And this is just me speaking, and to the extent that it matters what I think, the governor should care what I'm about to say. I believe it is a mistake to assume that there will be a second and third round of bills. We're working really hard here trying to get our members to agree to things. And in the Senate, we're making deeper cuts than the governor made. And to assume that somehow this is a game, that we're just throwing some bills over there to be vetoed, I'm just suggesting that's not a good assumption, because it's taken a lot of work to get to where we're at. And we cannot reinvent all that work overnight, because we are developing a consensus. And the work that's going to happen between the House and Senate to get a consensus is going to be really hard, because they don't like some of the things we're doing. And we are not thrilled with some of the things maybe they're thinking about. So an assumption by the governor that it's just a bunch of Democrats and that he can say that round of bills doesn't matter, in my judgment, is not a good assumption. This is serious business. We're doing the best we can. And he should not trivialize the work that's going to come out of here. Because if he does, it will make it harder to get a consensus in the legislature.
Commissioner, I think what you're hearing from us today is that we have tried it some different ways, and although they ultimately end up in a conclusion and sometimes a more or less successful session, this is something that we have not faced before. We have not faced a 17 or 18% reduction in our general fund budget that we have to face together. And we are both extending an olive branch today, but we also, maybe a rose would be a better example, because it has some warning signs on it about where we are coming from and where the governor is coming from. But at the end of the day, we do want to have the best outcome for the public. And we believe that that absolutely involves having more public discussions that lead to more transparency about the decision-making here. The worst thing in the world is when people wake up the week after the session. I won't say the day after the session, because we all know we all sleep like crazy usually, or are on a plane somewhere talking about what we did. But a week later, and find out that what we've done is not quite what we thought we did. And we don't want that to happen. And we think the public needs to know what's going on here. So I know you'll take that message back to the governor.
Madam Speaker, are you saying that in this form would be the appropriate, or would it be in? Commissioner,
we're open to using legislative planning, fiscal policy, because you make a good point. We absolutely believe that in conference committees, the details of the bills must be negotiated. The people on these conference committees have the expertise, they have the information, but there is a step before that, as you point out, and the step before that is an overall budget picture. Now, we may or may not be able to come to complete agreement about that, but we should at least have the transparency of the discussion here or somewhere in some mechanism to be able to have that discussion. We think that's important. Does that clarify? People have clarification. Representative Sertich and then Senator Clark.
Madam Speaker, I think you're 100% correct. And as chief negotiator, I would hope it would just speed up the process of having the governor himself involved. If it were this group or another group, we can hold these meetings very close to his office, where I know he's busy and has other commitments potentially, but having him involved, I think the people of Minnesota, whether he's restating his positions as Representative Coles did earlier today, or coming to some compromise with us, meeting us somewhere in between our positions and his positions, having the clarity of the governor's voice publicly in that compromise is important too. And I'm not trying to minimize your position as chief negotiator, but things get done when the governor's in the room. So having the governor there is very helpful as well.
Madam Speaker, Representative Sertich, as his chief negotiator, things get done when I'm around too. I would be fired.
I'd have both of you here, is what I'm saying.
But I think in that type of circumstance, I would be the one present, and then we'd go from there.
We take recesses. You could run up the stairs, come back down. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we could figure it out. Senator Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, I think what I'm hearing you say is there might be a variety of possibilities. And hopefully what you're hearing us say, too, is I do think the concern that Representative Carlson brought up about whether or not a deal is a deal is a deal. And it really is cute. The governor's involved somewhere. So if he vests you with, yes, you're able to, since we had Lutheran pastors out there, that vesting was okay. If you're able to actually tell us that and that sticks. But I think there have been concerns that maybe there wouldn't be, so maybe we need to use a variety of possibilities. The other thing, just to kind of go back to the conference committees themselves, I think having the work really done there, the negotiations done there, can bring back perhaps a variety of eras over time that really had a lot of creativity that we maybe haven't seen. I can remember when I sat on the other side of this table, being told, go work it out with the administration, work it out with the whomevers, come back with ideas, the senators, the House members, the administration, all said, fine. And we may have great ideas, but we're kind of limited in the number of people. And I think the governor participating publicly, yourself as chief negotiator, but the chief negotiator, just people being able to hear and respond, we may have some ideas that none of us have thought about. And as the speaker was saying, reinforcing that $6.4 billion deficit, we're all going to be doing things that we don't want to be doing. Maybe we've got, with a little help from some others, bless you, we can come up with some ideas that we can, you know, get somewhere else. And, you know, Representative Coles was talking about particular positions that the governor's been clear about. There's things we've all been clear about, too. And we're going to have to figure a way through all of this that gets up to that really large number. And that, frankly, is balanced for 4 years, because we're still concerned that at the end of the day, we can't have a gaping hole sitting there. We've got to figure out how to get this actually balanced.
Anything else, members, right now? Commissioner, we look forward to seeing you next week.
Tuesday.
Okay.
All
right.
Have our
thank you. We're adjourned.
Ready. We'll get it to you before we need to look at it.
Yeah, just speeds it up, I think.
Snap 2 South St. Paul boys negotiate.
I think you can have that.